reading to you from this book, Lord Thou Sayest. To give you a little background, this one dear brother that was quoted in the introduction, Brother Ian Bounds, and his book on the necessity of prayer says, the Word of God is the food by which prayer is nourished and made strong. The Word of God is made effectual and operative by the process and practice of prayer. We want to bring the two together. We need the fuel. We need the Word. If we're to pray, maybe our prayer is weak. We need the Word to fuel our prayer. And how could we have the Word be dynamic and living? Well, for the Word to be dynamic and living to us, we need the Word of God to be made effective, effectual, and operative by the process and practice of prayer. Now, for just some of the wonderful historical appreciation, you know, the first thing is, this is something that was carried down through the centuries. You know, some of the first church fathers, for example, maybe you've heard of Ambrose or Augustine. You know, these are some of the brothers in the back in the 4th century. Brother Ambrose said something to this effect. He says, we ought for a long while to bruise and refine the utterances of the heavenly scriptures, exerting our whole mind and heart upon them, that the sap of that spiritual food may diffuse itself into all the veins of our soul.
Amen.
How about that? In the 4th century. And then one of his followers was Augustine. And Brother Augustine said something to this fact. He said, let me confess unto thee whatever I shall find in thy book, and hear the voice of praise, and drink in thee. Brother Augustine was drinking the Lord.
Amen.
Through the Word. Okay, I'm just going to quickly flip through a few of these. This is skipping a bit. But, you know, there is in the 1700s, they had this group called, they're the German Pietists. And one of them called Philip Jacob Spinner said, he says, talking about the Word, he says, let it penetrate inwardly into your heart and allow the heavenly food to be digested there so that you get the benefits of its vitality and power.
Amen.
How about that? Hence, it is not enough that we hear the Word with our outward ear, but we must let it penetrate into our heart through prayer. True prayer, and the best prayer occurs in the inner man.
Amen.
This is, okay, some of you may have known of, this is very good too. Franck, who was influenced, I think, by Spinner, said something to this effect. So one may remain at every little verse in the Bible, and as Luther says, knock on every little twig, whether there would be some berries that would fall off. Do you come to the Bible knocking on every little twig so that some berries may fall off? So you come to one verse, no berries, they're not ripe yet. So you go to the next twig or branch and knock on some more till some berries fall off to feed your soul.
Amen.
I was just deeply impressed. We'll skip forward.
Tell us how to
knock. We're going to get there. Okay. Then skipping forward to the 18th century, George Whitefield. Many of you know he was an evangelist that came to America and during the time of the Great Awakening and the American Revolution. He said something to this effect. My mind being now more opened and enlarged, I began to read the scriptures upon my knees, laying aside all other books and praying over, if possible, every line and word. This proved meat indeed and drink indeed to my soul.
Amen.
I daily received fresh life, light, and power from above.
Amen.
I can't, you know, for sake of time. But brothers, this is our history. Amen. These are our forebears. These are the ones that we have been brought for. Okay, maybe skipping forward, jumping forward to early, the end of last century. No, the end of 1800s and 1900s. Andrew Murray, well-known teacher that was very much in the inner life. He said this in his prayer life. Read a few verses from the Bible. Do not concern yourself with the difficulties contained in them. You can consider these later. But take what you understand. Apply it to yourself. Ask the Father to make His Word light and power in your heart.
Amen.
Thus you will have material enough for the prayer from the Word, which the Father speaks to you. George Mueller, the German, he's a Brit, was the one who had all, was considered a man of faith. He says, in the 1800s, he says, I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from the beginning, early in the morning.
Amen.
When thus I have been for a while making confession and intercession or supplication and having given thanks, I go on to the next words or verse, turning all as I go on into prayer for myself and others, as the word may lead to it. Best, but still continually keeping before me that food for my own soul is the object of my meditation. You know, we're passing through church history, brothers, sisters, from the earliest days. C.H. Spurgeon. Maybe many of you know Spurgeon. He was also a British minister that today people even read some of his commentaries. It is a great thing to pray oneself into the spirit and marrow of the text, working into it by sacred feeding thereon, even as a worm bores its way into the kernel of the nut. Prayer supplies leverage for uplifting of ponderous truths. Okay, D.L. Moody, some of you know, he was an evangelist that spoke the gospel widely and led probably millions to the Lord. Moody encourages readers to have a time alone with God. I have never seen a man or woman who spent 15 or 20 minutes alone with God every day that didn't have the do all the while. I've never known one to backslide either. You can never get more than a day's journey from Christ if you come to Him every morning.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Anyway, for sake of time, I should probably... Okay, maybe the last one. R.A. Torrey. He was from the early part of last century, an evangelist who wrote, God is ready to come down and meet us and talk with us face to face every time we open our Bibles.
Wow.
How about that? Oh, it is great to study the Bible on your knees. It has been one of my rarest privileges of my life to read every chapter in the Bible and every verse in the Bible on my knees, and it is your privilege to do the same.
Amen.
We're not saying you need to physically bow down, but we need to contact the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
So Brother Manuro shared a conference this weekend in Anaheim with the Spanish speaking, and I wasn't there for the first message, but he didn't even get to the outlines. All he could talk about is we need to come to the face of God.
Amen.
He said, you know, he quoted Augustine, and he says, when I come to the scriptures, I come to the face of God.
Amen.
And then he spent probably the better part of the time on one hymn called Hymn 812 that says, I come
to thee,
dear Lord. Some of you may know this. So he spent about an hour on this hymn. I'm not going to do that because we don't have the time. I come to thee, dear Lord. My heart does thirst for thee.
Amen.
Of thee I eat, of thee I drink. Enjoy thee thoroughly.
Amen.
Just to behold your face, for this my heart does cry.
Amen.
I deeply long to drink of thee.
Amen.
My thirst is satisfied.
Amen.
I commend to you Hymn 812 for your personal time with the Lord.
Amen.
But what I just want to convey is we have a burden, not that we would learn a formulaic pray reading, but that we would contact the Lord in His Word in such a living and vital way. Saints, otherwise we could be like the Laodiceans. Know that, heard that before. I was in that conference about 25 years ago. I heard it when he gave it the first time. I read the life studies on it. Crystallization, well, it's about the same as a rehash of the life studies. Know that. So what we become is opinionated Laodiceans. Know so much, been there, but we don't have a vital touch with the Lord. So our brother is so concerned for us that the churches would not degrade into Laodicea, but we would what? Keep the Word. We need to keep the Word with our whole being. So I'm not going to read through the outline. Our time doesn't permit. But I mentioned the main function. The second Roman numeral says what? We should not simply have one way of prayer, but every means of prayer, exercising what? Our spirit to pray in various ways to take the Word.
Amen.
So the first way is pray reading. Of course, we're quite appreciative of that. Then musing. Our brother Manuro was very burdened that we would learn to muse on the Word. You know what? I know what to do when you can't sleep at night. Muse on the Word of God.
Amen.
If you're laying on your bed and you're troubled with all kinds of anxious thoughts, you know what you do? Pull up the Word and say, Satan, take this. And then you just muse on the Word of God.
Amen.
This is what our brother Lee did.
Amen.
Okay, musing is further. It's like he uses, this is very much in life. He says, it's chewing the cud. You know, clean animals are animals that chew the cud. And what that is, and this is what's implied in musing. Prayer, speaking to oneself, praising the Lord, may also be included in musing on the Word. To muse on the Word is to chew the cud, to receive the Word of God through much reconsideration. Skipping. Okay, singing. Singing the Word is an exercise of the Spirit that's even higher than pray reading. So when you pray read, you exercise the Spirit. When you sing read, or sing the Word, you even exercise the Spirit more. That's especially a good way. Now, psalming is when you take musing and singing and put them together, and then you psalm the Word. It says here, psalming is a type of singing that includes musing. As we psalm the Word, we dwell upon it. And I believe the psalmist must have psalmed the Word. So the Word became very sweet. They could even say, your words were sweet to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Saints, I hope that we would all sense the sweetness of the Lord's Word.
Amen.
And the third point says we need to what? Improve and make progress in the details related to our pray reading, praying, singing, psalming. So it's like the finer enjoyment, okay? And through this, finally, our pray reading, the Lord as the living Word, enters into our, not only into our mind, but into our spirit. Consequently, we not only receive the Lord's nourishment, refreshment, and enlightenment, but also experience His watering, strengthening, transforming, and uplift. This is the experience of the power of the Word of God in our spirit. There is no adequate way to describe the benefit of pray reading the Word.
Amen.
Okay, so hopefully this is a good foretaste Amen. For this week. And we do have morning revivals. Phil, will you send out that electronically too? Okay, we will send them out. So those who use it digitally, if you do use it digitally, maybe you could forego, because it looks like we have more faces in the room than we have the 30 copies we have here. So, but take one if you need one, and some of us will get one.
We have 37.
We have 37. Okay, very good. So let's go ahead, and if there's anyone who wants to overflow for a couple of minutes, we have a little time to share something, and then we'll have some announcements. Amen.